I remember seeing a complaint on Twitter about, somebody was just saying how spot on it was to the game, and somebody replied, why bother making a TV show then if you're just going to be so close to the game? And I thought that was the most like asinine comment I'd ever seen. And that's saying a lot. And I'm like, you think everybody has a PlayStation? Everybody's going to, I mean, it's a wonderful story. More people should be exposed to it, not just gamers.
To the Deep Bass Podcast B-Side, where we take a hard look at something game-adjacent instead of music. I'm Peter Thomas, and today I'm not joined by my co-host Cody Haltom, but instead a very special guest who makes her debut appearance on the Deep Bass Podcast for the very first time. She's a wonderful wife, a mother of two, and a fan of our topic today. Welcome, babe.
Hi. Good to be here.
I find it weird that I did 26 episodes of this and not one time have you been on, not even just...
No, not even for Stardew.
Yeah, like not a guest, not even like a shout in like, hey, babe, can you get one of the kids?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Kid. We didn't have two kids back then.
That's right. That's the whole reason...
life was easier.
The whole reason the podcast has been on such a hiatus is we had our second baby, and in my head, I thought, oh, it's fine. It's just going to be twice as much work. Not the case. It's like four times as much.
Yeah.
It's not, what is that? Incremental? Exponential? What am I?
I know what word you're saying, but I can't really think of... Exponential would be the correct term because it shoots up like this.
Right. Yeah. So it is exponential.
Not linear.
It's not
linear.
Yes,
it's exponential.
Not, right.
And, so yes. I would agree because we both had time to do our own things once in a while, like hand off the one child, and that's just not existent anymore. We are at the point where our second is sleeping a lot, but our first is not. So it's been a good time. But you know what? We still had time to watch The Last of Us. So
we did. And that's actually what we're covering today. So B-Sides is an idea that Cody and I had about covering things that we wanted to cover in like the gaming space, but wasn't actually game music. For those of you who have listened to any of the previous episodes, know we cover a game, go over our top five favorite songs, so on and so forth. This time around, we're covering something a little bit different, and that is The Last of Us on HBO. It was a show that came out based on the game, or really, it was an adaptation of the game, actually. I really wanted to cover this because I had a good time watching it, and Cody decided to bail on me and not show up, and babe has stepped in.
Yep. You can just call me Amanda.
I just realized that I did not actually say your name. So yes. Everybody just thinks your name is Babe now. Yes. But yes, you'll be Babe on the podcast. But for those who are curious, her name is Amanda. Anyways, I kind of put together some questions that we'll discuss together, but you know, I'm going to point them at you. I think I pre-vetted them with you if you even looked at them. You
might. I did not. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's just like whenever you don't use my music in your content. So
oh,
it's good stuff.
Yikes. That was a big whoopsie.
So the structure is going to be the same. I'm going to go over a brief intro about the show, and then we'll get into the questions, and then we'll kind of wrap up from there. All right, the show history. So The Last of Us is an American television series adaptation of the game of the same name, The Last of Us. For for those of you who have been around listening to the podcast for a while, you'll remember that Cody and I covered this game on episode 23. And while we aren't covering the music this time around, we felt it was important to still cover the show for two reasons. One, it was fantastic, and if you don't have the means to play it, you should watch. And two, it's very rare when a television adaptation of a video game is even remotely good. We've seen some very failed attempts at that with Street Fighter, the original Mario Brothers movies. It's been bad. So to see something this glorious has been a breath of fresh air. The show did premiere its first season on January 15th, 2023, and received acclaim from critics for just about everything, with those critics stating that it was the best adaptation of a video game that they've seen. The premiere was watched by a staggering 4.7 million viewers on the first day and the second biggest HBO show since 2010. And by 2 months in, it was watched by almost 40 million viewers, which is incredible.
Increased tenfold. It's crazy.
Within the first three episodes, the show was renewed for a second season, which we are very hyped about.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So I want to start first, since you are the guest and not really a gamer. You have humored me in my hobby over the years, but gaming is definitely not your number one thing. So I'd like to let everybody know your history of The Last of Us, when you got started with it. I actually don't remember myself, so it'll be interesting to hear, and your experience with the game going into the show.
So my first memory of the game was when you played it, when I was studying for this big exam I needed to take for my job. So I was studying and it was really hard not to watch the game. I think you covered in the last episode that that was also my first game crush. Shout out to Joel, Daddy.
So bad.
But I didn't really follow it. I didn't watch the whole game through or follow the storyline that well. I don't even remember why I ended up playing it on my own. And I don't think you were involved with that. I wish we could look up what year that was. It was several years before I played The Last of Us 2.
I don't remember what got you into it either. I do remember I was surprised that you were interested in it. But I think by that point, we had already played a few games together, like Heavy Rain and things like that. And we kind of did those together, like you would play and I was sitting there heavily with you. And I think we did the same thing with The Last of Us.
Mm. So it was then The Last of Us 2, which I played, had to have been in 2021, I guess, when I was pregnant. I remember that because I was getting sick a lot when I was playing. But I was pretty proud because it was my first long game like that I had basically completed on my own, with one exception that I could not beat.
I ended up not wanting to watch it because I eventually wanted to play it myself and didn't want to really spoil the story for myself. So yeah, I kind of put the PlayStation up in the bedroom and you kind of went ham.
Oh my gosh. It was, yeah, I know we're not talking about the games too much or the second game, but I will say when I got to the midpoint of the second game, that was very like, I almost gave up. I almost quit. I'm so glad I saw it through, but the worst was getting to the end. And that was the first time that you had not played something before me and I had nobody to talk to about it. That was really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
I know. I felt bad. It wasn't until almost 2 years later where I finally picked up the second one and saw it all the way through. Because what, I just finished it maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember it was also the first game where I found that was a really good balance between storyline and actual gameplay for me, because you know I'm into the games that are heavily story-based, but things like Heavy Rain and such, it's not really that hard to play. But The Last of Us is a little bit different.
Yeah, I try to, when I pick games for you in general, I try to steer clear of action heavy oriented games that involve a lot of run and gun stuff like that, because it's just, it's not really your cup of tea. But when I find a game that has a good story, like It Takes Two, we had a blast with stuff like that. So it kind of helps ease the burden of dealing with, you know, controls and learning all that stuff. But, you know, my background's pretty much covered in episode 23, so I'm not going to go over it here. But I think the notable things there are, I do remember, and it's still one of the funniest stories, is seeing you have your very first video game crush and saying, like, I get it now. I understand. Yeah. Troy Baker's sultry voice over that, like, rugged, slightly graying man. It was like your thing, man. And it's a shame that you didn't get to see it the first time I went through it, but I wasn't trying to distract you too much while you were studying for PE, right?
Yep, it was. It was brutal, but it was nice to be able to, I mean, it was just interesting to watch. So, yep. But that first time I only got bits and pieces of it, but even then it was enough to know that it was something I was interested in. I don't remember seeing anything about the end or like the hospital scene or anything like that. I very specifically remember the Pittsburgh scenes because you were pointing them out to me. It's funny, I don't have that much memory. I have a really bad memory. So I don't have much memory playing the first game. Very clear memories of the second, though.
Yeah, the first one pieced together a little bit more as we watched the show, which we'll kind of get into here. But I did think that some of my memories of the first one kind of got overshadowed by the second one, partially because the second one is so impactful and it hurts to the core. It is rough. But
I will say, even the story-driven games that I have enjoyed playing with you, I might think about them the next day, but like The Last of Us, I thought about for weeks.
Yes. Yeah. It has a way of consuming you for sure. Let's get into some of these questions I have, or really dialogue. I shouldn't say it like questions because it's not an interview per se, but it's more just like a dialogue about the show as it relates to the game and kind of as its standalone thing. I don't want to get too much. It's hard not to compare the two. It is an adaptation, so it's a direct one-to-one or close to a direct one-to-one. But at the same time, it does stand on its own two legs. I felt like it was a fantastic show just in and of itself. And had I not known anything about The Last of Us, I still think I would have enjoyed it immensely. The first thing I have, which kind of segues into that, is do you feel like the show was good and worth watching both as a fan and then as somebody who has never even had any exposure to it? They have a subscription to HBO Max and they're looking for a good show. Is this something for them to watch if they enjoy that type of genre?
That's a hard question to answer just because I can't remove my personal experience from. I can't give you an objective answer to something I feel that strongly about. But I will say I know so many people in my personal life who had no idea about that game, who have never gamed a day in their life, that adored the show, that I talk to about it every single week. So I have no doubt that it stands on its own 2 feet.
Yeah, you recommended it to quite a bit of your family, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep, a coworker. A couple of coworkers picked it up as well.
Yeah.
And none of them have played it. I'm the only one. I'm like, oh man, you guys have no idea what's coming.
Yeah. It was a little different for me. So obviously I'm a gamer. So all of my friends are gamers. So if this was something that they liked, then they probably watched it too. But I did recommend it to a couple of coworkers. But again, most of them are gamers. So they were like, you know, I want to play the game first before I see the show. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, Randy. I know that you're chugging through. He got the super remaster version, which The Last of Us got remastered twice. It's on PS4 and now it's on PS5. It's like super remaster. It's like got even more fidelity. I mean, it looks beautiful. So he's going through that now. And I'm just like, my butt's kind of clenched a little bit for him to go through some of the stuff that he's going to go through and things like that. But yeah, I agree. I think that it is hard to remove the bias, but I think if you do, and you just look at it as a standalone show, I mean, 40 million people, it speaks volumes. I doubt 40 million people have PlayStations and have played this games.
No,
I definitely think it is a show that could be watched on its own. You have no intentions
not
of having
good. Should. It should be watched. If you have not played the game, don't let it stop you from watching the show. It's incredible.
Yeah, definitely. If you have no access to a PlayStation, this is a very adequate substitute for experiencing what might be one of the most revolutionary stories of all time. Mm-hmm. So I want to know from you what your most enjoyable moment was in the show.
Oh, man, I don't.
You should have read the questions.
I should have. You're going to have to cut out the long pauses because I'm going to have to think about that one. What? I wouldn't say it's like the best or the worst, but I would say the most memorable was the hospital scene. Mm-hmm. And the only reason is it was the first time that I really felt the difference between playing the game and watching the show. And what I mean by that is when you're playing the game, you have a mission. You're focused on that mission. Your whole goal is to stay alive. You don't really stop and think about what it means. And I remember when Joel was walking through the hospital, essentially committing mass murder, that was the first time it ever sunk in how big what he was doing and how devastating he was behaving. It was hard. It was actually very emotional for me.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that during the game.
I remember us talking about that a lot because you're right. When you're playing a game, there's a different dynamic there. You're focused on what's your ammo like? What's your health like? What are you walking into? There's a lot more into it. And I remember the hospital scene being strong. Like, it was definitely a big moment, but at the same time, it didn't hit as hard as it did on the show, where I could sit back. I didn't have to worry about anything else. And I was purely focused on the story. It was brutal. It still didn't change my thought process and how I felt about his reaction to everything and why he was there in the first place. But it was definitely a tough watch versus playing through it.
Yeah.
I think for myself, one of the things I liked about the creative liberties that they did take in the show was expanding upon the story. So being able to see more of what there was going on outside of just Joel and Ellie. And
oh, yes.
I know that was the focus and everything like that, but I fucking loved the Bill and Frank episode. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so good to see him. You know, in the game, you get a little bit of Bill. He's harsh. He seems a little bit nuts. He's got all these traps everywhere and stuff like that. But you don't know why he's like that. You assume that it's just because he's been living by himself for however long it's been, and that's it. And that's enough to drive anybody crazy. But when you finally get to see his life, him meeting Frank, the love that they shared and everything like that, it really resonated hard, and it made me want more of that. I almost wish there was like a spinoff season one that was just all side stories like that, just to hear more of those characters that we kind of grew to love.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I think a lot of people would. I mean, people went crazy over that episode. It was such a beautiful and heart-wrenching love story. And I don't actually think it took anything away from the story. I know there was, you know, I read, of course, there's always going to be some people that complain anytime there's a deviation, but I don't think it took away anything. I think it added so much substance for me. And I really love that.
Yeah.
If our kids were gone and you were dying of cancer and you chose to, I'd go with you too.
Thank you, babe. I was like, what is, I didn't know what that was, but it sounded really cool on the headphones.
I love you that much too. So
I love you too, sweetheart.
Can we be real though? So it seemed like the cities, I know you were trying to move on. Sorry. I know the cities were very condensed with the infected and whatever, but do you actually think it was practical for them to live in like that big mansion and not be attacked constantly? I mean, I know I had that whole setup, but I think about The Walking Dead and I'm like, they couldn't stay anywhere for 3 episodes.
Yeah, I think that what they tried to present in the show, and I'm taking a stab here because I honestly don't know, but it seemed like the more rural the area was, the less the infected were around. So the premise was that you breathe in these spores and that's what caused you to be infected. And those spores were only present in large groups of areas where...
In the game. They didn't have spores in the show, actually. They took that out. But they did have that growth.
Yeah.
That network of growth. And maybe if it originates in the city, it would make sense that it's spreading outwards. And the farther out you get, the farther
removed
you are.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was my take, was that just, you know, it was less common. So spores or that web network of stuff, it was just less likely that you'd see them. But we do see it in the game, you know, same thing. Most of the people who want to live away from all that stuff, they live on big farms out in the, you know, middle of nowhere. So on the flip side of that, what was your least enjoyable moment? That's probably harder than the most enjoyable, because I feel like we enjoyed the hell out of this show.
I think anybody who knows me personally would know that I'm a very impatient person. So I would say probably episode 2, because I just want to get to the point where Ellie and Joel love each other the way that I love them. I hate the beginning where they don't like each other and they're very cold and Ellie doesn't have a gun and it's awkward.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know it's all part of the story, but I just kind of want to skip it. It's like that awkward first date that nobody wants to be on. So that's what I would say.
I feel the same way. There was a lot of, because we knew the show or we knew the game so well, we knew kind of where it was going. And so to see them very angsty towards one another, reluctant to be around one another, and Joel looking at Ellie as if she's like a thorn in his side, it was like, oh, but you're just give it time. You're going to warm up to her so hard.
You're going to love her so hard. So, you know, just getting to that point.
Right.
I also don't be mad. I didn't care for Tess all that much.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's nothing for me to be mad about because I was not really a fan of her character. I didn't really bond with her in the game either.
Yeah.
She kind of drives the story, but that's it.
Yeah.
Like, she moves it to where it needs to be. But I mean, the game and the show are both about Joel and Ellie, and that's kind of where we get all of our love and affection and heartache and all that stuff.
So. Yeah. Episode 1 and 2 were obviously really important for story setup, and I think they added in some really interesting storytelling as far as that goes. I love the opening scene. You remember the interview with the scientist talking about the Earth warming up and potentially creating the right environment for something like that to happen.
Right.
It gave me chills.
This is not part of the questions, but had you heard of the Cordyceps mushroom strain before the show or playing The Last of Us?
No.
Okay.
No, it came up in conversation between us because you had looked it up because of the game.
Yes.
And kind of got this like weird sick fascination with it. And I'm like, I would rather I never knew about that.
Because here's the thing. Okay. This sick fascination.
It's fucking so, I don't.
Listen, the sick fascination comes from the fact that we watch quite a few post-apocalyptic movies. We've seen World War Z. We've seen The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of stuff. All of that stuff has no basis on reality. Cordyceps is real, okay? It is a real fungus. It does really infect the body in the way that it shows in the show. And when they explain it in the game, it's like, oh man, that's actually kind of viable. Like that could be a thing. And then they do that intro in the show saying like, this is why mushrooms thrive. We have global warming happening and things like that. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh shit, this really can happen. Like this is about to be some scary, scary stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I mean, that's exactly why I didn't look it up. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
You don't want to watch those videos. If
you tried, you really tried to get me to watch from like,
yeah. Cause I want you to be prepared for what's about to happen.
Oh, and how is that going to
20 years? This is why
the future.
We need more guns in the house.
I actually read recently that like there's some kind of fungal infection going around because I saw it on Twitter and somebody put cries in Ellie. But I haven't looked it up to see what it is or anything. It was, I shouldn't laugh. I don't know if people are dying from it. I don't know anything about it, but.
Well, hopefully not. But cries in Ellie is so good. Dude, the internet will forever be more witty than I ever am.
Always. I'll never be famous. I just don't have the wit.
No, never. For my least favorite moment, and I know you're not going to agree with this at all, but I think this is more the gamer coming out of me for this, but I felt like the infected were not highlighted enough. There was probably 2 or 3 major scenes with infected, and then the rest were all about like the humans on humans, which is perfect for television. I don't want to get that twisted at all. Like that is what the good TV is all about. It's about the story and telling human relationships and stuff. It's not about the action and shooting things. That kind of stuff is reserved for games, and that's what makes games good. But I kind of wish there was a little bit more. I mean, we saw really one showcase of how careful you have to be around a clicker. And we saw 2 bloaters in the show, and they did a good job showcasing like how strong the bloaters are, but I kind of just felt like we didn't get to see as much of what makes the infection so terrible personally.
Yeah, I actually don't disagree with you at all. I'm trying to think because the season was 9 episodes and I'm trying to think, I don't remember seeing any kind of big interaction with the clickers after the Kathleen saga. Like that was it, right? Yeah.
I think
that was like halfway through. So I would say half the season
was
human on human, and which is a shame because they did so well. Like that, the clickers were amazing. They put that much effort into it and then kind of drop it. Maybe. I would agree. They did go pretty heavy on the story and not enough action.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe the makeup was just too rough to keep making clicker faces.
They could have figured out a way to incorporate it more.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and like I said, I wouldn't have wanted too much because I don't want it to be, it's really not exciting to watch that stuff. The tense moments are good. I love, like, if you would have had a good half an episode dedicated to like truly trying to sneak around like a room full of clickers, that's true to the game, right? That's kind of,
it can be incredibly tense to watch.
Yeah. There are ways to do that really well. And I think could have been beneficial. I'm not saying that the human stuff wasn't warranted because there was definitely plenty of that in the games that you had to just combat for your life against these people who are just ruthless. And I feel like that's something that really is present. If the world ever went to shit today, I mean, there would be more, I think, people fighting than anything else.
Yeah, but they had, I guess what I don't understand is HBO series are getting kind of really all over the place with the number of episodes, like 12, 8, 10, now 9, wherever the hell that came from. Like, you could have probably done one more episode and kind of spread everything out a little bit more, had a little more action in it. For sure.
So that was probably, for me, the least enjoyable moment. And again, a minor complaint, all things considered, but I would have liked to see a little bit more of kind of what made that game scary.
Yeah.
So this next section is now going to be more about the comparisons. So we're going to, I mean, I know we've kind of made comparisons along the way here, but these are kind of from the show to the game and back again. How do we feel? If you had to pick one, what would it be? Would you watch the show forever and never get to play the game? Or would you play the game forever and not get to watch the show?
Oh, wow. I'd play the game.
Play the game?
Yeah. Is that surprising to you?
A little bit. Yeah. Tell me why.
I just feel more involved. I feel more involved in the story when I play the game.
Sure. Anything in particular, outside of, I guess, being involved, anything in particular about the game that makes you like it more than the show? Or is it just purely the interaction piece?
No, it's purely the interaction. There's nothing I think that the show did wrong that I liked in the game more. I don't think that's the case at all. Yeah. I like just being part of it.
My answer is probably pretty clear here.
Yeah.
I love the show. I really did. And I would endorse it to the ends of the earth, but I'm a gamer through and through. And if somebody has the option to pick one or the other, I would absolutely say play the game before you watch the show.
But can we be honest? Is there ever a time that you can think of where you prefer the second one to the first? Like, I feel like wherever you started is your place of comfort and how you know a story and where you're going to go back to.
Yeah. So there has been, it's rare, right? It's not a common thing. I would agree that typically wherever you are rooted in, I mean, the only thing I can think of off the top of my head where it's like, I didn't love the first thing I had was the regular Nintendo, the original OG one versus the Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo will always have my heart, but the original NES was the first console that I had ever played. It's probably the only thing I can think of. It might even be the only thing where it's ever been that way, but you know, most of the time it's always the first. So yeah, I agree. As far as the show being faithful to the game, do you feel like having done both, play the game and watch the show, do you feel like it was faithful enough to call it an adaptation versus a based on what?
Oh, that's not even a question to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they were spot on. Of course, they deviate in some ways, but I feel like they were all really warranted and added to the
story.
They
were great deviations.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I would be hard pressed to find a lot of people that would disagree with that. I mean, I've seen so many side by side comparisons of the show to the game and they're spot on. It's crazy.
Yeah. The Talking Heads also referenced that quite a bit. They made it a point to stay faithful to the show. Neil Druckmann was there, I think, through the entirety of it. And I'm pretty sure he was credited in every episode. So it's not like where he wasn't hands-on in some way, shape, or form. But it sounded like even some of the deviations where they were like, hey, we want to do this. And Neil was like, I don't know why I didn't think of that. Yeah. So I think they did a good job with staying very faithful to the show. And that's why I mentioned that if you don't have access to a PlayStation and you want to see a really good story, watch the show. I think it's absolutely worth doing. They did it justice. I'm glad it's on a big screen and more available than it was before.
I remember seeing a complaint on Twitter about, somebody was just saying how spot on it was to the game, and somebody replied, why bother making a TV show then if you're just going to be so close to the game? And I thought that was the most like asinine comment I'd ever seen. And that's saying a lot. And I'm like, you think everybody has a PlayStation? Everybody's going to, I mean, it's a wonderful story. More people should be exposed to it, not just gamers.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's actually my third point. As reluctant as I am to do it, I did want to cover some of the hateful comments that came up. You brought up the first one, which is, there are people who did not understand or did not comprehend what benefit this could possibly have to anybody.
But then also those same people would complain about any deviation and how stupid it was. You know, you can't please everybody.
You can't, but there are some complaints that I do feel like are unjustified. So, okay, you can't see why they made a film adaptation, even though I think that it's clear to me, right? It's like, you and I talked about this. Not everybody has a PlayStation. Mm-hmm. So what are those people supposed to do? Like, this has remained a PlayStation exclusive. So it's not like you can have it on a different console. There's no other ways to play it. Just now, Steam started getting it. So that's what, 10 years later almost? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, there's, why not? Like, I don't understand.
I don't either. That's crazy.
And thinking of it purely as like a greedy standpoint, I've made $1 million off of a game and somebody's like, I can make you $3 million off of making it a show. You're just going to say no.
Well, and it's such a bad mindset all around. Are we just going to stop making books into movies too? I mean, it's literally the same mentality.
Yeah.
So why don't we just burn the Lord of the Rings DVDs because they were fucking useless? Why would you ever do that? I mean, it's so stupid. Harry Potter. I mean, it's all the same premise. It makes no sense.
The other big complaint that we got was obviously around some of the casting, which still makes me livid to this day. But obviously there were some choices on the casting, specifically around races, that were pulled out that were not okay, apparently, to some people.
Oh, they have to make everything woke.
Yeah,
oh,
so apparently The Last of Us and his last name Mason. I don't actually know how to pronounce, but Craig Mazin, his direction for this was apparently too woke for the world. Do you feel like that actually pulled away from the experience?
Okay.
I know.
And the thing is, you know, there were people complaining about the Frank episode as well.
Because of the gay relationship?
I think so. I mean, they won't flat out say it, but it's like, you know, it's the same people that want to see, you know, they see that scene, they're expecting explosions and action, and it was replaced by a gay love story. And they're like, what is this? And like, he wasn't gay. Like, he was gay in the game, and so was Ellie. So I don't really understand where the disconnect or how you missed that. Or maybe you just didn't make it to the second game. I'm not really sure. I literally don't even notice that stuff. I know that sounds stupid, but I don't. The fact that you notice it, you should be questioning yourself.
I will admit, of all of the casting choices they made, Ellie was the hardest to swallow.
Yes.
I think of everybody, it's Ellie and Joel are the key ones. Like, I think you do need to match them as much as possible to the character, because you spend 14 to 20 hours with them in a game and see them nonstop. So it's like, you got to match those guys up as best as you can. For everybody else, it's a personality. It's a feeling. It's an effect. And for Sarah, who was originally a young white girl in the game, who ends up being portrayed by kind of a light-skinned black girl in the show, it's like she captured that feeling of what Sarah was. to me, that
was such an impact in one episode.
Exactly like it was in the game. I just don't see the need to have to call this stuff out. That's why I said it feels dumb even bringing it up, but it's like, it's worth mentioning how stupid it is just so that it's out there for the world. Whoever listens to this gets to know that I think you're a fucking idiot. If you
come up with some legitimate complaints.
Yeah, honestly.
Ellie was hard for me. Now, I would disagree with you, though. I don't think that it's a looks thing. It wasn't for me. That doesn't bother me.
About Ellie?
Yeah. It was all personality for me.
You think not enough Ellie in there?
Just different. The Ellie in the game, to me, it seemed a lot smarter and charming and funny. I thought the Ellie in the show was a little forced, a little angsty, I just got my period and I'm not rebelling against the world kind of attitude. Like, we've all been there. I get it. But that wasn't the Ellie from the game to me.
Forced, I definitely got. And I think she actually mentions in one of her talking heads at the end of like episode 2 or 3, it's a couple in, where she says that she realizes how big this character is. Mm-hmm. And she was nervous going into this. Like, am I going to be able to fill the shoes and stuff? And it has nothing against Bella Ramsey at all. I think you're a wonderful human. You would have never filled those shoes, my dear. I know. Never.
It's hard. Like, you know, you love these characters. And you can't blame her for taking on this role and having to play it the way that she sees fit. Otherwise, it's just going to be like imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to interpret that character the way she does, and that's how she plays it. It's just, Ellie in the game was a little more lovable to me. And so charming, I thought.
Yeah, her wit and sarcasm, it was a perfect blend. You can't act that, I don't think. I think that just has to be you, right? Mm-hmm. That has to be you as a person. You can't force anything like that. I feel like we would be remiss to go over this entire episode and not talk about Pedro Pascal as Joel. So for anybody listening, the crush that my wife had on Oberyn. And
yeah, we go way back. So all you people just getting on the Pedro train now, you can kiss my ass. I've been on that.
She loved Oberyn. Absolutely loved him.
Like the devastation I felt when he had his head exploded on Game of Thrones. I didn't sleep that night and I have never watched that scene again. Never.
Yeah.
So I was so in love.
She was on the Pedro Pascal train long before The Last of Us was ever a thing. So imagine
my joy when I heard he got casted for that role. I was like, it's too good to be true. It's going to get canceled. There's no way the show's going to come out because it's literally my dream.
I thought it was going to get canceled just because shows never make it.
It's a good sign though when HBO picks it up for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, he got casted for this role. And I remember sitting down and thinking to myself, I feel like Joel in the game was a little more Southern. And I thought his voice was a little more sultry than what Pedro was actually pushing forward. I started watching the show and then I picked up part 2, probably around episode 2 or 3. And I started playing through part 2 while I was watching the show. So when I heard Joel there and then came back to it, I realized he does have the deep, sultry voice that I was expecting to hear. I still am on board with he's still not Southern enough.
But that part doesn't bother me either because it just captures the character. Like, you know,
it's not a major complaint. It wasn't like, oh, I can't listen to this guy butcher this voice or anything like that. It was just I have a distinct cowboy sound. Yeah, of again, Joel.
You played the game first. Yeah. You have an image in your head and it's hard to let go of that.
Right.
For sure.
So that was it. But no, I thought he did Joel justice. I mean, very strange watching some of the side-by-sides, like watching Troy Baker show up and speak and me completely fucking missing it for almost the entire episode.
I didn't know. I knew Ellie's character, but I didn't know Joel's.
And I couldn't get over that too. So Ashley Johnson,
yes,
right, grunting while she's pregnant. And I'm like, no, I can just hear Ellie struggling like to get out of an infected's grip or something like that. It was really hard to separate, but
I love that. I love that they did that. That was incredible.
The meaning behind it. And we made the connection. I don't want to make it sound like we were special. I'm sure a lot of people made the connection.
Like, but that Leo meme pointing at the TV.
Yeah.
That was everybody.
But yeah, it's like Ashley giving birth to her character. That is just such a cool way to incorporate somebody. You know, we don't really talk about her much because she doesn't show up except for in the beginning and the end. But Marlene shows up as well, the voice actress for Marlene in the game. It was harder to make that connection because, like I said, you don't see her much in the game. You don't see her much in the show. So hearing her voice, it wasn't like one of those super awe-inspiring moments. But when we found out it was her actually doing it, it was, I think that's cool. I love that they tied those in.
So you have a better memory than me, but does she have a bigger role in the show than in the game? Like, did they get into the backstory of how she, did she even get Ellie to begin with in the game? Because she was kind of like the person who took Ellie when her mom passed away and then gave her to Fedra and et cetera to keep her safe.
Yeah, they did not talk about any of that stuff. You just know that she acquired Ellie through some means. That's how she gives Ellie to Joel.
Yeah. Little stuff like that really added a lot to me.
Right.
Did they also do the side quest? The side quest.
Did they do the side quest in the show?
Where they're walking and Ellie sees kind of like the mass homicide of people that aren't sick that just don't have space for. Do you remember that scene when they were like killed a whole kind of village of people in the show?
They didn't show the actual scene, but they showed them walking by that area, I'm pretty sure. So Joel had mentioned like, hey, we should take a different route. And she was like, why? I think we can take this route. It's faster anyway.
It happened in the game.
Oh, are you asking?
I'm asking if that happened in the game.
Oh, that I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that really stuck out to me as well. And if it happened in the game, it did not stick out to me in the game.
Yeah. We really owe that another playthrough because I feel like, especially now that we've seen the show again or seen the show, we should go through it again and see.
It's been years for both of us. So.
Plus I need the platinum.
Oh man.
I need the platinum.
Let me tell you guys, he was like so disappointed when he played part two after me, seeing how little awards, trophies, whatever that I got. He was like, you couldn't find five quarters.
Five fucking coins. Okay. And for for the record, four of them were in the first area ever. Like you don't even have to go anywhere.
Guess who doesn't care?
Yeah. You've never been a collectible person.
No, I get to the end. I do what needs to be done. I'll waste no time. That was a long game. I don't need to waste more time.
Oh man. Questions that I want to discuss for the show, but I just overarching closing thoughts. Like, what did you, everything, all the thing. I don't even know what to call it.
I just want to put this out into the universe because I actually think this is going to come back. But the scene, the flashback with Ellie and her girlfriend when they were going down the escalator, that episode where they were on their date, So beautiful and haunting in that mall. They played Take On Me.
Oh, yeah.
Going down the escalator. And I know she's going to play that on guitar in the second season as a flashback to that moment. I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be beautiful.
I really love that they pulled that in there. So for those who have not played the game, just watch the show. That was actually DLC that was added later in the game. It was the backstory that we got after we had already played the game. So putting that into the show, I thought was super important, being able to see kind of the origin of how she became who she is and why she's so valuable. I love all of the little nods. They knew early that season two was going to be a thing. So I can't say that they were surprised, but they threw in all these nods to what would be in season two. They showed, you know, a glimpse of Dina, and they showed a glimpse of the Take On Me stuff and, you know, all these little like things. And I'm sure there's stuff I'm missing because I was just so fucking excited.
There's a theory.
What theory?
There's one person that escapes from the hospital.
What?
Yeah. We'll have to watch back. I mean, you can't see who it is, but it's obvious who everybody thinks it is.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know if I want to watch, maybe I'll watch the finale again, but he's, you know, on his shooting spree and somebody bolts out of the hospital and he doesn't kill her. Or him. I didn't pay attention close enough, but I know what scene they're talking about. It's another little nod.
But we know it's a her.
But we know who it is. And we're ready for you.
Kinda. I actually don't. Are we allowed to talk about? No, we probably shouldn't talk about.
No, we'll save it.
Yeah,
we'll save it.
I am curious to see.
Maybe Cody will actually show up to season two when we cover that, and we'll have all three of us.
Yeah, I would like to. Yeah, I love this series so much. I think it's such a unique story. I think the way that it's told really challenges your ideas of morality and what you think is right and wrong. And I know we go back and forth about all the time if Joel was wrong at the end.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I 1000% think that he was wrong. He just was. But I would have done the same thing without question.
Yeah.
It's just that irrational love that you have for your child.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, one life versus millions, right?
Yeah.
The obvious choice is millions. But when it's your kid... And I know that's hard because we're both parents. So it's like, of course, we'll always choose our kids.
It's hard, but it's a mindset that you can't have it until you have it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have understood 5 years ago what that feels like.
I agree. I think it's there's kind of a reality that gets set in when you have kids that's different than the thought of kids. Like I always knew in my core that I would love my kids to death. Like I knew that I would do everything for them. And I would be there for them and things like that. But when our first baby came into this world and was put in my arms, it was like the world shifted. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, I thought I knew what I was talking about, but I did not know that level of love for any human at all. Sorry. I love you to death.
I'm there with you.
But,
please.
Yeah. But it's
in just, the fear and desperation you feel at the thought of losing them. I mean, they're
yeah.
What's the point of going on without them? There just really isn't. I mean, they touched on that in the episode with Henry. What's the point of going on without the people that you love? So I understand why he did it, but he took a lot of loved ones away from other people when he did it. So I can't say that it was right, but I would have done the same.
We don't get to cover all of that stuff, but you mentioned the Henry episode, and that was another brilliantly done.
Gut-wrenching,
matched up really well with the, in fact, it matched up almost to a T because there was a bunch of scenes in there where I was like, I don't remember if that happened, like one for one happened exactly like that in the game.
So, yeah.
Yeah. They just did a phenomenal job across the board. The stuff they added was warranted and felt really good. Like nothing felt tacked on or like somebody else wrote it. Felt like it was part of the game the whole time. I thoroughly enjoy it. I cannot say it enough. I really enjoyed that game, the show.
Yeah.
Both.
I don't really think we touched on too much the humans that we came across, though. We didn't talk about Kathleen and that whole deviation, which I thought was really interesting.
So in the games, they tell you about these resistance groups that rise up against Fedra because they think Fedra is the worst thing that's ever happened, right? The government's bad. They're trying to run our lives.
They kind of were, though.
I don't know. I struggle with that a little bit because it's like, is being overly cautious bad? Is that really a bad thing? You don't want to spread this infection. You don't want... I'm not saying that... I'm okay with what they were doing, but if you've never been into something like this and you're trying to figure it out, like mistakes are bound to be made, right?
Sure.
So it's like, to me, I'm not saying that they're justified, but I definitely don't think they were just these inherently bad, like fascist government militia that were just looking to...
I mean, tell that to Sarah.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I know that stuff is bad, like the way that they reacted, but that was day one, right? So I know that there's going to be issues through that, but there was a scene that they actually... One of the executives or officers or something were talking about it and were saying... Or maybe it was in the game. I don't remember now because the two are blending together so much for me anymore. But somewhere in there, they said something along the lines of, if the government is not there, then this whole place goes to shit. There's disorder, there's chaos, and that's exactly what happens. Yes, it's bad under Fedra, but the minute Fedra is gone, everybody goes nuts because it becomes a free-for-all and there's no regulation, there's no accountability, nothing. It's just all gone. So we see that with Kathleen. That was a long-winded way to get back to Kathleen. But
yeah.
We see that with her and her group where it's like, you've got these people who are just like executing people, no different than Fedra, because she's looking for a snitch.
Well, didn't the snitch get her brother killed?
Yeah, but I mean,
that's no small.
But it's because her brother was doing shitty things. I don't know, man.
Again, it questions your morality all around.
I don't think there's any clear answer. Nobody is pure good or pure evil. Like, I think everybody's got their rationale and reasoning behind what they're doing. And it just happens to affect other people around them.
Oh, yeah. There's no villain in this story, which is incredible to me, except that religious cannibal.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's late. I can't think of his name. The one I wanted to hook up with Ellie.
David was his name, I think, in the show. I don't remember the actor's name at all. But yeah, that guy, he was batshit in the game and he was batshit in the show as well.
How did you feel about that last scene? Because I remember being really scared in the game and it did not impact me that like that in the show.
It was softer in the show. I don't know if it was because of the timing of it. You know, in the game, you have to spend a good bit of time like dodging him because he will basically one-shot you, right? Mm-hmm. But in the show, they don't have all that time to do all that stuff. So it goes by pretty quick. And I think that probably takes away a little bit from that impactfulness. But again, that kind of goes back to my infected, you know, and the sneaking around stuff. Like one of the big things about that game was sneaking. Like you had to be quiet. You had to do like stealthy parts of the game in order to get by because there's not enough ammunition to just go run and gun and start killing things. And I think a lot of that is lost in the television adaptation.
Yeah, the television show is far more emotional for me and less, not a lot of scenes of holding your breath and butthole puckering. Mm. It's not enough.
Yeah, definitely not the suspense.
And I actually think it's going to be even worse in season two, because season two is so heavily based on the human connections and conflict that it might actually only get worse.
Yep. Our souls will be broken once again.
Yes. I also think at the very end, speaking of the show just being more emotional, I just feel like a lot of that came through so much clearer for me. I complained about Bella, but that last scene with her and her doubting Joel and clearly not believing him, but going along with it anyway, like that didn't really come across to me as clearly in the game, believe it or not.
It came across less clear in the game than it did the show. I gotcha. Yeah. The one thing about gaming that has always been a thing is that it is hard to capture emotion in character models.
Subtle emotion. Yeah, for sure.
It's like they've gotten better over time. Thank God we're not in the polygon world where these blocky people are around. It's the same thing. You know, they took a while to kind of get there, and PS4, PS5 era, we're starting to see a lot more of that. Motion capture is also a big thing. So the same technology they use for like Detroit, we see a little bit more of like the emotions because they stick those little balls all over their faces and they are able to get a little bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah, just straight up programming, you don't really see that subtleness anymore.
Yeah.
Or ever really.
Oh, I wanted to talk about a loophole that I was thinking about the other day because I read an article online about like, if I had one complaint about this show, this is what it was. And it was the assumption when you get to the hospital and Marlene tells Joel that they need to operate on her brain, you know, to create this cure or whatever. Like, why isn't an automatic assumption that that's going to kill her? Like, why does he go from 0 to 10? This can't happen. Is it the state of the medical world at the time that you just assume that a dangerous brain surgery is going to kill her? But that led to my loophole of like, why didn't they just ask her? That's one thing I'll never understand. This all could have been avoided if you had just asked Ellie what she wanted, had her sign a paper, like the old days, like a waiver.
Consent, people. Consent.
That's because all. Because if they had just sat, I mean, they know where they want the story to go, I guess. But if they had all just sat down and be like, this is the situation, here's our options, what do you want to do? All in the same room, this shit wouldn't have happened. But Ellie wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I mean, we know what her answer would have been. Mm-hmm. She has always wanted a purpose for her existence. It would have been the easy answer. And I don't think the story would have been nearly as impactful had she gotten the ability to give consent.
Yeah.
But
it would have just, here's the thing, part two just wouldn't have happened, right? But it would have been a very impactful story. She just would have chosen to die.
Yeah.
To save humanity. I think it would have been an excellent game regardless. You just lose. It just would have been a totally different story.
You think, you don't think there would have been a little bit of that edge of that questioning and wondering? I feel like part of...
No, because she's a dumb teenager. She's not smart enough to understand that her life can mean something on a small scale. It doesn't have to be this big grand, like, I'm going to save the world. Like, if you would have asked me as a teenager, do you want to die and save the world? Like, I would have said yes. Because, like, infamy is more important than your experience of your own life. So I feel like that comes with age.
No, I don't mean that so much. I guess I what I'm referencing is, like... What made me think about one for days and weeks on end after the game was done was the question of, was what Joel did right?
Yeah.
That's like the big resounding thing that sticks with me. If you take that out of it, is that ending actually that good anymore?
It like, would have been emotional, but it would have changed the entire story. It goes from being a story that makes you question your morality to a savior story, a martyr story. So it's just totally different. I don't think it would have been as good. But it's just a loophole for me. It just seemed like a natural progression. Hey, let's all just talk about it and see what she wants.
Yeah.
And then when she says no, it would have been really interesting is if she said no and they try to do it anyway. And then Joel shot up everybody. But again, it's again, less blurry because then he would have been justified. So I don't know. Maybe they were onto something. Now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm talking it through.
I'm telling
they were
onto
something.
I think that was that was the point.
You walked right into the point.
Yeah, it's that's a tough one. If there was, I get the reason for asking about the loophole or wondering about it, but I just don't think it's the same. I think that without any element of it, it's like, you know, the idea of fate, right? If you were to change any of the elements of fate, then you're no longer walking the same path. You're walking something different, but were you always going to walk that path to begin with? But yeah. More theology than anything. So
I did have one question for you. I don't really know how to phrase it. My question for you, I mean, this is a music podcast. What were your feelings about how the music was incorporated into the actual show?
I can't believe I went through this entire podcast and didn't fucking say anything about
this.
And the funny thing is I have notes to say something about it. See, Cody, you done fucked everything up. I just want you to know that.
Is it that bad? Me being here.
No. I mean, I'm glad you brought it up, but no, I'm just saying like, I feel like Cody would have brought that up earlier in the episode, but I didn't.
Yeah. I mean,
but,
it's a music podcast. No, so we should talk about it.
I think that having him on there was key. Having Gustavo on the show, doing the music, I don't think you could have had it any other way. That show, I mean, that game was brilliant with him on there and what he did for creating emotion and everything like that. They did have somebody else on there who helped out. David Fleming was there as well. The feeling and what you heard in the show was essentially The Last of Us through and through. So my guess is that he probably helped with some additional stuff here and there, but not any of that core. And the intro, oh my gosh, the intro was just, I love that aesthetic that they're doing, you know, that Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, everybody's doing
Westworld. All of them have that kind of thing. But man, it was just so fitting with The Last of Us. But yeah, no, I'm really glad that they had Gustavo come back and do his thing. I mean, he was in both games, actually makes a cameo. I didn't know that until Cody told me, but makes a cameo in the second game. So I feel like they would have really shot themselves in the foot had he not shown up. Are you a fan of the music? Do you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I thought that it was very well incorporated as well. Spot on.
Yeah, I feel like
for what I was.
I've never asked you like if you've liked that music or not.
Yeah, it's haunting.
Yeah, it's a very eerie sense. And again, coming from a guy who has like absolutely no like musical background whatsoever. Like he loved something and just really went with it. But
yeah, that's probably why it sounds so different than.
Yeah, it's probably not
trained. Just kind of went and found his own sound.
Yeah. My man's wings it.
I just feel like it's so easy to try to go with something more epic or just more
like not, orchestral.
Not, yeah. Yeah. Because I don't want to say impactful, because I don't think that it's more impactful. It's just different, just more epic, bigger. I feel like it would have been really easy for them to do that. I'm so glad that they stuck with the actual sound of the game, because I just think it's incredibly fitting.
We have enough Marvel movies for the epic soundtracks. Yeah. So we're good. Keep giving us Gustavo every day of the week.
Yes, please.
Well, babe, thank you for showing up. I really appreciate you filling in for Cody during his time of fuck off Peter, apparently.
Well, I can't let you do it by yourself.
I know. It would
have been so boring. No, I'm just kidding.
So lonely just hearing my one-sided thoughts about a show.
Peter, what do you think? Well, I think it would have been a little awkward.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate it. Appreciate you filling in. And I know this isn't your thing. You were a little nervous coming on to.
Yeah. I'm like, what am I going to say? I love it.
And here we are an hour and 10 minutes in, and you're like, what about this? Wait, I had something more to say.
Yeah. Watch out, Cody. I'm coming for your job.
Sorry, man. Wife before friends. That's just how it works. But no, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your insight. And I think that you provide a very unique look on the game and the show, just because this is not something that you normally do. TV is your thing.
TV is my thing.
But games are not. And the fact that you love both as much as you do. I mean, you sat there and watched me play through The Last of Us Part 2 and get the platinum on that. So it's like,
eagerly. Like I actually enjoyed it. So I actually made this poor soul stop playing before the ending of the second game so that I could watch it the next day.
I did.
And he did. He waited.
It was like literally 15 minutes.
Yeah, nobody could ever say you're a bad husband, because I wouldn't have done the same for you, I don't think.
No. You nearly broke up with me because I was 10 minutes late to a Game of Thrones
episode. No, you were mad about it because I said, no, can we please? I said, if you are not here on time, I am starting it without you. That's and you didn't take me seriously. You were still gaming. You came late and I started that shit without you and I wasn't playing. This is important to me.
She's savage when it comes to her TV, man. So needless to say,
the fact that you were surprised and upset. I'm like, bro, I told you though. Like I told you how it was going to be.
Yeah. Needless to say, I've not been late to a TV show again. So I ain't trying to deal with that in my life. No, like I said, I appreciate it. It really helped. Like I said, I didn't want to drone off into an empty room all by myself. Not like it's any different than my life anyways.
But it's hard not to talk about it because it was that good.
Yeah,
so I understand wanting to do a B-side, and I had fun. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. For those who are fans of the show, I'm sorry it's been so long since we've had an episode come out. I cannot tell you when we're going to pick up season 2 just yet, but I do have plans to do more of these in the interim because I miss it. I miss doing the podcast and I've got some ideas for what I can fill in. It will not be regular. It won't be like a planned thing or anything like that. It'll just be when the mood strikes.
That's the best time though. That's when you're inspired.
Yeah, it'll be something like that. That's all I have for the episode. If you are looking for any of the past episodes or you want to come hang out with us in Discord, you can find us all at deepbasepodcast.com. And you'll find all the links to everything there. I'm pretty sure I pretty much killed all of the social media because A, it's really hard to keep up with a bunch of different social media, and B, apparently social media is like falling through the tubes since the last time we've talked on this podcast.
Oh, things have changed.
Yes, things are very different. So, be on the lookout for my social media, Twatter. It's going to be
Twitter for the twats.
Yeah, Twitter for the twats. You don't want to deal with the real twat. But no, deepbasepodcast.com. You'll find the Discord link there. You'll see all of the past episodes. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. And if you're looking for a delightful insight onto what my life is like, what my wife's life is like, dealing with two toddlers, you can check her out over on TikTok at Aquatella, and that's AQUATELLA. Do I have a crying baby?
Yes.
I've got a crying baby.
Yep. So yeah, you can check out my TikTok for crying babies and Pedro memes.
That's right. All right. That's all we have. Thank you guys for listening and we'll see you next time. Take care.
To say I'm odds and ends, but I'll
That new Pedro meme is so good.
Which one?
The one with Nick.
Oh, the Nick Cage one.
Yeah.
We need to watch that movie. I cannot believe we haven't seen it.
Yeah. What is that movie?
I don't know, but we need to watch it because you were such a Nicolas Cage fan.
Yeah,
and I'm a Pedro fan, so.
I didn't realize it was from that movie. I saw a trailer for that, and I really wanted to see it.
Yeah.
How did I miss that? COVID made me miss it.
I don't know about that, but either way, we'll watch it.
COVID is the reason why I don't bathe. COVID is the reason why I don't bathe.
COVID? Okay, we're done using COVID, okay? Okay.
My wife thinks I'm so stinky. Spoiler alert, I am.
It's not subjective.